Teaching English Today, The Four Seas and Beyond by Louise Carlton-Gertsch is powered by Ernst Klett Sprachen, der Verlag für modernes Fremdsprachenlernen in Schule, Ausbildung, Universität und Erwachsenenbildung. Sprachenlernen fürs Leben.
Hello and welcome to Teaching English Today, The Four Seas and Beyond, a podcast in which we'll be looking at ways to help students of English develop important skills for the 21st century. I'm your host, Louise Carlton-Gertsch. At the beginning of the year, I joined a volunteer search and rescue man trailing team. We train with our dogs every week to search for missing people. At the end of each practice trail, before the trainer gives us any feedback, we're encouraged to reflect on what's just happened. What did we notice? What went well? What might need improvement? A short period of reflection that allows us to step back and think about the areas we need to focus on more, as well as what's already working well. It's only after this that the trainer shares their thoughts. It's made me realise that I don't do enough of this. Perhaps it's something that we all need to do more regularly. How often do we take time at the end of a project or task to reflect on what's happened, what we've learned, and importantly, what we can do differently next time? Reflection is a skill that we need to develop through practice, and in today's fast-paced world, it can often be difficult to carve out the time and space to do so. Yet the ability to stop, reflect on our experiences, and learn from them is a key skill that supports lifelong learning and personal growth. What is reflective thinking? Put simply, it's about pausing and looking back, analysing our experiences and emotional reactions so that we can learn from them and use these insights to make better decisions in the future. It requires us to be open to different ideas, curious, patient, because it takes time, honest with ourselves and analytical. But it's important not to confuse it with overthinking. When we overthink something, we tend to go over a situation in our mind, often focusing on the negative, thinking about mistakes, but without finding a solution to the problem. It also often focuses on self-criticism. Reflection, on the other hand, is more positive because it's intentional and focuses on positive change. Instead of just replaying something over and over, we review what happened, looking to see what we can learn from the situation. It shifts the focus from what went wrong to what can I do differently next time. According to John Dewey, the renowned US educational philosopher, taking responsibility is an essential part of the reflective process. He argued that failing to act on what one had learned was irresponsible. Genuine reflection requires the willingness and courage to act on the insights that one's gained. Whether in education, the workplace, or our personal lives, reflection is an important tool. It enables us to check what progress we've made and move on with purpose, helping us to build emotional intelligence, self-awareness, and resilience, all of which are important for our personal development and lifelong learning. Reflective thinking is also a key part of critical thinking. Whereas critical thinking involves the ability to analyse information in an organised and rational manner, reflective thinking is more introspective. It encourages us to reflect on our own thought processes, emotions, experiences and reactions, and look for connections between them. Reflection is a key skill in the workplace. As James Bailey and Scheherazade Raymond point out in their 2022 article, Don't Underestimate the Power of Self-Reflection, in the Harvard Business Review, the habit of reflection can distinguish top professionals from their less effective peers. It enables us to become more self-aware, leading to better decision-making and more effective problem-solving. But self-reflection isn't simply about asking ourselves general questions such as what went particularly well this week or what could I have done better today. Instead, we need to focus on the experiences that are most significant for our personal growth. To this end, Bailey and Raymond, both professors at George Washington University, conducted research with 442 executives, asking them to reflect on which experiences had contributed most to their professional development and enabled them to become better leaders. After processing the reflections, three key themes became apparent: surprise, failure, and frustration. Reflecting on something that involved one or more of these feelings had the greatest impact on the participants' learning and career development. When something happened contrary to what they expected, so made them surprised, the executives were prompted to reflect. As the authors point out, we tend to speculate about what will happen next based on what's happened before, As they explain, when we're mistaken, we're surprised, and mistakes, lapses in judgments, and wrongful assumptions are worth our reflection. Failure also caused people to reflect. Many participants describe failure, or making a mistake, as something that was visible to others. Knowing that others had seen their mistakes made participants more likely to reflect on them and learn from them. As the authors explain, mistakes provide raw evidence of what we shouldn't do in the future. We learn through negative examples or experiences when something goes wrong, especially unexpectedly, we're more likely to think about why that happened and then to think of ways of how we can avoid that in the future. Business leaders also saw frustration as an opportunity for growth. Problems such as internal delays that endangered product launches, or maybe senior leaders who didn't understand the realities faced by those in the field, often made them feel frustrated. The authors explain the reason for this. At the heart of frustration are our goals, which in turn reflect our values or what we're seeking to achieve. When someone blocks an important goal, we feel frustrated. But by reflecting on the source of the frustration, we can find a solution and are thus able to grow. So, reflecting on experiences that are emotionally significant seems to be more productive. Bailey and Raymond suggest setting aside time each week to support reflection, saying, like a muscle, your mind needs reflection to re-energize and grow stronger. At the same time, reflection is also valued by universities. For example, applicants to Harvard Business School are required to submit a written reflection within 24 hours of their interview. It's not meant to be a polished essay, but rather an honest reflection on their performance in the interview. What went well, what they might have learned from the experience, what could have gone better, if there's anything they'd like to clarify, and so on. It shows an applicant's ability to evaluate their performance in an honest and balanced way, as well as whether they can identify areas for growth without becoming defensive or excessively self-critical. These are qualities that are not only highly valued at the business school, but also in the workplace. So how can we practice reflection? Terry Boughton introduced a simple critical reflection model in his book, Reach, Touch and Teach, in 1970. It was later adapted by others for use in nursing and healthcare education. Boughton's model focuses on three simple questions to enable learners to describe, interpret and take action after experiencing something. The questions are, what? So what? Now what? With what, we need to think about what happened to describe the experience. Who was involved? How did I react? What was the outcome? And so on. So what encourages us to look at the implications of what happened, to interpret the experience along the lines of, what does it tell me? What have I learned? What could I have done differently? And finally, now what looks to the future. What will I do differently next time? What steps can I take? But not all reflection occurs once an experience or event is over, as Donald Schoen's reflective model makes clear. He differentiates between reflection in action and reflection on action. The second happens after the event, but the former, reflection in action, takes place during the event, as it's happening. This is when a person has to think on their feet in a given situation, deciding how to react when things don't go as expected. You might have experienced this in the classroom when a lesson might not be going the way you expected it would. So you make a quick decision to change course, or you alter something as a reaction and act immediately. This is an interesting model as it enables us to compare reflection while the event is happening with how we view it afterwards. Interestingly, in his 1983 book, The Reflective Practitioner, Schoen also mentions the importance of surprise. Similar to Bailey and Riemann's research, he suggests that reflection often starts when we're confronted with something unexpected. He writes, "The practitioner allows himself to experience surprise, puzzlement, or confusion in a situation which he finds uncertain or unique. He reflects on the phenomenon before him and on the prior understandings which have been implicit in his behavior. He carries out an experiment which serves to generate both a new understanding of the phenomenon and a change in the situation." Thus, reflection is not something that we merely always do after an event. It can also help us to make better decisions in the moment itself. The OECD's Anticipation, Action, Reflection Cycle. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development recognizes the importance of reflection in its Learning Compass 2030 framework. According to the OECD, we make decisions on a daily basis, often without being fully aware of how we make them or what the implications are. To help students develop a routine to enhance their decision-making and support the development of agency throughout their lives, they've devised a cycle with three interconnected stages: anticipation, action, and reflection. The anticipation stage is about thinking ahead, planning and imagining possible futures. Learners develop awareness of how what we do today can impact the future. Drawing on their knowledge and skills, they think about future scenarios and weigh up the potential impact of one action over another. Perspective taking enables them to take a step back and examine other perspectives other than their own. Next comes the action stage, which is about doing. Learners put the plan they made in the anticipation stage into action. They engage in real tasks and get concrete results. While an action itself can be neutral, its outcomes can be varied, from very positive to very negative for the individual, community, or the planet. Learners experience the consequences of their decisions. The third stage is reflection. In this stage, the learners analyze what's happened, identify what worked and what didn't, and use these insights to adjust their goals and plans for the next time. The cycle is a continuous process rather than one-off action. Each stage feeds into the next one and complements it. For example, once learners have reflected on outcomes and adjusted their plans, this leads to the next round of anticipation. The authors of the paper point out, as learners engage actively in iterative cycles of anticipation, action, and reflection, they can gain a sense of responsibility because they feel more connected to the issues and problems being examined. With that sense of responsibility comes the belief that they can make a difference in society. Thus, reflection can also help learners to develop the agency they'll need to make thoughtful decisions throughout their lives. So what can we do in the classroom? One of the first steps in reflective thinking is learning to notice what's happened. In her book, Experiments in Reflection, Stanford D School professor Leticia Britos-Cavagnaro outlines different activities. One I particularly like helps students to understand the importance of observation and perspective taking. In the first part, each student chooses an everyday object and takes 30 different photos of it from as many different angles and perspectives as possible. Close-ups, using filters, and so on. Afterwards, they look at their photos and reflect on their relationship to the object, what they noticed while taking the photos, whether their perception of the object changed, and so on. In the second part, the students think of a recent event or interaction with other people that they want to understand better. They then have to see how many different ways they can look at it to get a better understanding. They might decide to do so through the eyes of somebody else who was involved in the situation. Using different lenses helps us uncover unexpected insights. You could also adapt this activity to literature by asking students to examine an event in a novel through the perspectives of different characters to gain new insights. Another area where reflection is vital is where AI is concerned. As you all know, many students now turn to AI for answers. They simply copy and paste its responses without really engaging with them. But we could use this as an opportunity to develop reflective thinking. One way of doing so would be to ask students to include a short AI use statement with their work. This could include the following questions. Did you use AI? Which tool did you use? At what stage? Which response was most useful and why? Which suggestions did you reject and why? Would you use it differently next time and why? We need to help students understand that AI provides options, not answers. It can help us, even in the reflection process, by asking us questions, prompting us to consider different perspectives or organising our thoughts. But it can't do our reflecting for us. Ultimately, we're the ones who have to make sense of our experiences and learn from them so that we can make better decisions in the future. Today's world is full of distractions, with constant demands on our attention. We're often so busy moving from one task to the next that we don't take the time to reflect on what we're doing or what we've done. But when we do take that time, we often discover meaningful insights. Creating opportunities for reflection might be one of the most valuable things we can give learners. Thanks for listening.
Teaching English Today, The Four C's and Beyond, by Louise Carlton-Gertsch, was brought to you by Ernst Klett Sprachen, der Verlag für modernes Fremdsprachenlernen in Schule, Ausbildung, Universität und Erwachsenenbildung. Sprachen lernen fürs Leben.